The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "You love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will love the Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Because this is a holiday weekend, I have the intention of preaching more briefly than usual. Now, that's an intention. If you want it to become real, you have to pray very hard while I am speaking. Today's gospel is a beautiful one. It again comes from our Lord's words at the Last Supper. But those words that our Lord spoke cover some three chapters in St. John's Gospel. And each Sunday we only have a small portion so that we can focus slowly, gradually, on one teaching after another of our Lord's. But sometimes that doesn't work in our favor because we really need to read the entire chapter, or in this case, three chapters, which are just a matter of a very few pages, in order to understand the full beauty of what our Lord is telling us. He begins, as you heard, by saying, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, ordinarily, we do not think of friends commanding one another. But Jesus is not simply a human friend, a buddy. Jesus is God's Son who bows low, comes down from heaven, and puts himself on our level as man in order to bring us to the Father. But even in the midst of the intimacy, the friendship to which he invites us, "I no longer call you servants but friends, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. But I have revealed to you everything that the Father has revealed to me." Even in the midst of that kind of a relationship, we do remember he is God Most High. And so our relations with our Lord are always relations of wonder and gratitude, as well as intimacy and friendship. We can only claim intimacy with Christ if we are like him. And we become like him by doing his Father's will. That's why he speaks about keeping his commandments. And he proves his love for us, as he says it just a few verses later, "Greater love than this no man has, that he lay down his life for his friends." So we already have the evidence of Christ's friendship for us. But we haven't yet given that evidence to him. We give that evidence to him. We demonstrate our loyalty and our love by living as he is taught, and by realizing more and more each day, especially as we grow in our experience of life in this world, that the life that Christ has commanded of us is a privilege. It's a life of happiness. Our Sunday Mass is not an obligation. It's a privilege. And although we may have to make sacrifices in order to attend, that's the rule of love. That's what you do as spouses and as parents every day. You make sacrifices. And in your sacrifices, your love for each other is not simply demonstrated, it increases. The sacrifices that you make for those whom you love prove to you how much you love one another. And make that love strong, a bond which gives peace and joy, a bond of trust. That's how we have to think of our Lord's words. And that's why it's important to look at those other chapters. Now, after speaking about this, about doing his will, keeping his commands, Jesus then promises to his disciples, whom he's preparing not just for the cross, but for his ascension into heaven. He promises to them, to us, that he will send another. And he uses the word another paraclete. Not parakeet, paraclete. Even though we depict the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, he's not a bird. He is God, the third person of the Trinity. Now the word paraclete, parakletos, is actually two Greek words. Para means alongside or next to. And kletos means called. So the paraclete is called to be next to us, called to accompany us. It's the same word as the English word advocate, advocatus. We think of an advocate as a lawyer or a spokesman, someone who's called to stand by your side when you go to court or when Revenue Canada calls you in to ask a few questions. The advocate speaks with you and for you, strengthens you, and gives evidence on your behalf. Jesus is telling us that he was and is our first advocate, our first paraclete, because he is the mediator between God and man, between heaven and earth. But after he ascends into heaven, he will send another advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is invisible to the world, but known to us, experienced by us. And this Holy Spirit will abide not only with us, but in us. He will do what Jesus in his incarnation cannot do. Jesus cannot be in us as man. The Holy Spirit has that power as Spirit. He will abide in us. And he will protect us so that we're not left desolate, so that we are not orphans. And as Jesus will teach us later, the Holy Spirit will aid us to keep the commandments so that we will know, so we will experience that Jesus is in and with the Father, but he's also in and with us. And he will continue to reveal his love to each one of us. That's two-thirds of my sermon, so you are praying hard. Here's the last third. Most of us experience the Holy Spirit and think of the Holy Spirit at the time of our confirmation. That's when we receive the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. And we learn at that time not only the seven gifts, but also the 12 fruits and the Beatitudes. One of our confirmati is here today, but I'm not going to ask him any questions. I know he'd be able to outshine all the rest of us. Now, we might ask, where is confirmation in the New Testament? You may have non-Catholic family members friends who've asked you that very question already. The evidence for confirmation is in today's first reading. What do we read there? The deacon Philip, who has been ordained by the apostles, had hands laid on him, has been given the mission to preach and to baptize. He goes to the Samaritan cities, and he preaches, and he has great success. Crowds are converted. People are baptized. He heals the sick. He casts out demons, and joy fills the city. But then he writes to Jerusalem. He sends a message to the apostles and asks that Peter and John come to Samaria to lay hands upon the baptized so that they can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that very quickly, very early in the life of the church understood that everyone who believed in Jesus was meant to share in Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles and the holy women in the upper room. So that experience of power and of mission, of being given the strength to go out and bear public witness to Jesus, wasn't just reserved for the people that were there in that one room of that one building on that one day. It was meant for everyone. And it was to be granted, administered, if you will, not by deacons, they didn't have the power, but by apostles. Apostles. So Peter and John would come and lay hands upon the people, and the Holy Spirit would come upon them as he did on Pentecost. That's confirmation. Over the centuries, we have added to the laying on of hands the blessing with chrism, the anointing with holy oil. And other things have grown up over the centuries to help us to realize what is happening that we can't see. So we add a saint's name. We wear red robes. The bishop comes from afar. But it's all the same principle. The roots of that sacrament are right here. And even if we've been confirmed by a priest, which happens in the Eastern churches, not Eastern Canada, I mean Eastern Europe, the Eastern European churches, the Uniate churches, the Ukrainian Catholic Church, and the Orthodox churches also, which confirm at the time a baby is baptized. Even if you were confirmed when you came into the Catholic Church as an adult by the priest who received you, that priest always acts with the delegation of the apostles. The bishops are the successors of the apostles. So, bishop and priest use the chrism, the oil consecrated by a bishop for the sacrament. That shows the unbroken link through time and space back to the men who received the fire of the Holy Spirit in the upper room on Pentecost day. So, you have been given this gift. You appreciate this gift by living it out. In the sacrifices that you make to be the loyal friend of Christ, you discover what that friendship means. You discover what the privilege of the sacraments really is. And you have the strength not only to love God in joy, but your love for your spouse, for your children, for your friends, for your country becomes ever greater. And it becomes not simply a human love, however exalted. It becomes a love that is suffused with divine life and divine power. And so it's caught up into the mystery of God's love for you and his plan for your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.